It's called The Hidden Mysteries of Christmas. Do you have your website up too with us? Yep. Image one, what are we looking at here, James?
Well, image one shows the wobble of the Earth. The Earth doesn't spin on a straight axis, and it wobbles, and it takes 28,000 years for the Earth to finish one full wobble. But I wanted to put this picture up because this way people could see. You can see the sun is the planet is lit up on one side.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you move the sun over to the other side and imagine that it's lit up now on the other side,
mm-hmm.
you can see that the sun is a lot more in the southern hemisphere on the right, and it's a lot more in the northern hemisphere on the left. So, as the Earth rotates around the sun is either more in the north latitudes or more in the south latitudes, and this is when the sun moves towards the south, towards the winter solstice, which is the birth of the sun.
Well, we agree on one thing there. I agree with you there.
And the one below it shows the 12 houses of the zodiac surrounding all of the planets, and the sun in the middle and the Earth.
That's a little picture to the left, right?
Right.
Okay.
And so you can see how the planets can be positioned in the different houses of the heavens.
Okay. All right, let's go to image number two. What are we looking at there?
Let's see here.
Now we've got the sunrise star Bethlehem. You've got the three wise men up there with an arrow.
Okay, so this is what we talked about with Orion in the heavens. It turns itself counterclockwise until the belt stars point straight down at the winter solstice. And at the winter solstice, Sirius rises straight below the three kings, or the three kings of the ordinance, the three magi, or wise men, point straight to the star, which is Sirius, and the Sirius points straight to the birth of the sun, which happens in the same exact spot.
Or some believe, by the way, there could be intelligent extraterrestrial life out there in that star system.
That's right, you know.
Find that fascinating. Okay, image number three is pictures of mushrooms, right?
Let's see.
All kinds of mushrooms there.
Oh, yeah. This is showing on the right, you see a picture of the sun. On the left, you see the picture of the other son of God. And this is why they anthropomorphized, or why they equated the mushroom with the sun, because it looked just like the sun to a primitive man. It was glowing, red, huge, bright object. And one of the things that they did when they found these plants that caused these incredible effects in their minds is they started to think of what these things were, and they started to associate them with other things. Like they would, the mushroom was known as a rock or an egg in its first state when it's very small. We talked about the mushrooms in that state. You can't really tell which ones they are. It's because they haven't unfolded yet. Once they completely unfold, like this one in the middle, the big yellow one, it has the white spots over it. That's actually the shell of the egg. The egg cracked, and it cracked into a bunch of pieces, and the mushroom pops out of the egg. During this time, it also sheds like a skin-like thing, and it falls down on the neck of the mushroom. So this is why they used to figure out that the mushrooms looked like snakes, and so they associated the mushrooms with snakes. So once it grows up to its fullest state, the cap actually turns up, and this has these beautiful gills that look just like feathers underneath it. And when the cap upturns, these gill-like feathers resemble wings, and so they used to view the mushroom as a bird in its fullest state. So in this story of the birth of the mushroom, you have the entire life cycle of the phoenix. The phoenix is the mushroom because it starts out in a nest, which looks like pine needles, with white, looks like ashes around the edge, which is the spores. It starts out as an egg, and then it turns into a snake, and it sheds its skin, and it raises its wings, and it turns into a bird. And once it raises its wings, it's beaten by the sun, and the heat of the sun destroys it, burns it up, and the only thing left is the ashes, which are again around the nest, or the pine needles, and the bird itself, the phoenix, raises again from its ashes, which are the spores of the mushroom. So this is one of the great stories that can give you a good idea of how they used to take these mushrooms and tell stories about them and associate with them with not only animals, but people mm-hmm. and gods.
All right, let's go to image four, which is an observatory, pictures of stars taken with a timer photograph, and then you've got the North Pole up there in a graphics
Right. Now, all over the world, one of these common things, just like the study, the usage of plants, is that they always thought when they left their body on these plants that they left first to the North Star, because this, they thought, was the portal outward. After all the observations and what you see right here and what they saw was all the stars going around this one spot. So naturally, they would assume that that's the exit, that's the way out. And it's also a way that you could go out and still, theoretically, turn around and look back and still see the same stars moving around and find your way back, which was very important to people when they were leaving their bodies and going out into the heavens. They wanted to figure out how they could find their way back.
That would be nice.
So this is why the North Star is always where, whether it's the Maya, they go to the North Star, the Celts went to the North Star, the shamans of Siberia went to the North Star, the North American Indians went to the North Star. All of these tribes all over the world, the Egyptians went to the North Star. All of these people went to the same place for this very reason. Now,
well, I got to tell you, James, other than saying Jesus was a mushroom and Santa was a mushroom, I think you're pretty darn accurate on some of this stuff.
Well, thank you, George. Maybe I'll eventually.
I don't know if you'll win me over on the other two, though.
Well, we're going down a path, though, and eventually, you know, all of this stuff is going to come into play.
Image 5.
No, not yet.
We're not there yet. Okay, back to 4.
The one on image 4 on the right shows the North Pole up at the top, and then it shows a two constellations below it, and then like a channel that looks like a tree or a chimney going down, and then another figure lying down at the bottom.
Yep.
Well, what this is the story of Christmas as it was told all over the world through the shamanistic story. Because as you see there on the top, the constellation Cepheus is labeled Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cepheus was the shaman who went to the gods to bring back the knowledge of the gods to mankind. This is why it's Santa who brings the knowledge from the North Star of the mushrooms back to man by climbing down the chimney, which is shown here. The chimney crosses the ecliptic, or the signs of the zodiac, and where it happens right now, as we move into the age of Aquarius, we are right in the middle of that chimney in this 28,000-year cycle that I was showing you with the precession of the equinoxes. Where we are is right at the bottom of the chimney, which goes right directly through Pegasus. Now, the chimney is what Santa or Cepheus or Odin would leave, or Joshua would leave. When they would leave their body, they would go to the heavens to bring back the knowledge of God. And they made this a story where you are climbing the ladder to heaven, or you're climbing the tree, the world tree, or the Axis Mundi, or the chimney. So when you have Santa up there at the top, Cepheus, you have Mrs. Claus, which is Cassiopeia.
Right.
Then you have them bringing the knowledge to mankind down the chimney, which is what Santa does. He brings the presents down the chimney and puts them under the trees. This is the mushroom. This is why the whole story of all these gods is always talking about bringing back this secret knowledge, the secret food of the gods, which is the mushroom.